From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, join us as we discuss with researcher Doug Yearchi, ancient mysteries of the world. Well, first of all, in St. Louis, not everybody knew him, but those of us that did will miss him. Condolences to the Christo family. Tommy Christo, a well-known restaurateur there, has died. I know that Tommy is in a better place now as he suffered for the last several years, but what a wonderful individual. Those of you who do know his name will remember him from the old restaurant Musial and Biggie's, yep, named after the baseball great, the Cardinal baseball great, Stan Musial. And then he was working at Jimmy's on the Park with his son. Tommy was just one of those great guys who made you feel comfortable, made you feel good the minute you walked in, and died of failing health, and he will be missed, especially on those trips to St. Louis. In Utah, hundreds of rescuers struggled with falling rock and debris in a very desperate attempt in a race to reach six coal miners trapped 1,500 feet below ground by a cave-in so strong that authorities initially thought it was an earthquake. As the rescue stretched into the night now, workers were unable to make significant progress, and the initial effort was declared a failure so far, more than 16 hours after the collapse, which did not appear related to an explosion. The searchers have been unable to contact the miners and could not say whether they were dead or alive. The Pentagon has lost track, get this, of 190,000 AK-47 rifles, pistols given to Iraqi security forces. The Government Accountability Office is reportedly conducting a review after a July 31st report revealed that Iraqi insurgents may have gotten their hands on the weapons and body armor intended to equip the Iraqi troops. One senior Pentagon official told a newspaper that some of the weapons likely are being used against U.S. forces. Well, if you are a regular flyer, flight delays, as you probably know, are at their highest level in at least 13 years. And analysts say that flyers can expect more of the same for the rest of the summer. The Department of Transportation said the industry's on-time performance in the first 6 months of the year was the worst since 1995. They blame weather delays, more people trying to travel, but it's all thrown in there and it's a nightmare for you. A 59-year-old German woman has had most of a pencil removed from inside her head after suffering nearly her whole life with headaches and nosebleeds that it caused. She was 4 years old when she fell over carrying the pencil in her hand. She said, "The pencil went right through my skin and disappeared into my head. It nearly missed vital parts of her brain, and at the time, no one dared remove it or operate, but now the technology improved so well that the doctors were able to remove most of it." In Oxford, Ohio, a man who was convicted of animal cruelty will be allowed to get his dog back, but he must follow a list of conditions to care for the animal. His name is Otis Clark, and he pleaded no contest last month to charges related to the abuse of his 2-year-old dog, China, and he petitioned to get the dog back. The dog was found with a chain so deeply embedded in its neck, it required surgery to remove it. Well, a judge allowed Clark to care for the dog, provided that it is licensed and is not tied up. We're talking about the dog now, not Clark. The dog must also be checked every 90 days by a vet, and if Clark does not comply with the judge's orders, he will be considered in violation of his probation. Just what is going on in this country with the abuse of animals? In a moment, we're going to talk with Ron Barber, whose company called In the Line of Duty trains police departments nationwide, and Karen DeLeese, because she is a New York State licensed veterinary technician with a degree in veterinary science technology. She, too, is an expert on small animals. They're both next on Coast to Coast AM. Two guests for you this hour. We're going to take phone calls a little bit later on. a story that just doesn't seem to go away, the abuse of animals. Ron Barber, president of In the Line of Duty. Now, that is the leading provider of video and internet training for law enforcement all around the planet, actually. Ron's reality-based training videos used by thousands of law enforcement agencies in Roll Call Academy and in-service training. Ron Barber, he's been on the program before. Ron, how are you?
Always good to chat with you, my dear friend. How are you?
Wonderful. And Karen DeLeese is a New York State licensed veterinary technician with a degree in veterinary science technology. She's worked at places such as the East End Small Animal Emergency Hospital and the New York State Marine Mammal Rescue Program, currently conducting research on dog attacks, canine aggression, public perceptions of canine aggression for the National Canine Research Council. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Ron, tell us now your involvement in this topic. You train police departments all around this planet. How did you get interested in animal abuse?
George, I'm an unabashed animal lover. I'm not a tree hugger, but I love animals. And I realized years ago when we got into the training of law enforcement via video that we had a very great pipeline through to cops, probably more than any other organization in the world, to reach them with critical messages. And I realized years ago that there was virtually no video training for law enforcement, specifically dealing with the issues of animal abuse and dog fighting. And I decided simply to produce programs that I thought would be of value to police, and as a result, enhance their education, which they could pass along to the public.
You are, because I've known you many years, an emotional person when you get involved in a subject. And when you do, you're like a bulldog because you don't let go. When you started researching animal abuse stories, it must have made your hair curl, Ron.
Well, it's boggled my mind. It continues to boggle my mind. Reference man's inhumanity, not only to man, but also to animals. And I must tell you that I produced and wrote the program, which we have been selling and marketing to law enforcement for the last several years, called Dog Fighting, Why Cops Can and Need to Stop It. And to this day, I have not been able to look at all of the video on that program because it is so horrific. Literally, we have had police departments return the video to us because it is so graphically horrific. But I thought we needed to show the worst of the worst surveillance video available, the bloodletting, the slaughterhouse that these barbarians are involved in. I thought that we really needed to put it all out there for the cops and hopefully stir their emotions to the point that they would finally begin to act. You know, this issue has simply not been on law enforcement's radar screen, and I do believe that our video has had at least a bearing on changing that.
Is it because it's difficult to convict, difficult to arrest? Why do they tend to back off this?
Well, very simply, veteran officers will tell you, I don't have time to deal with animal issues. I don't have time to run around and worry about some cat that a kid may have set afire, mm-hmm. or, a group of punks doing a Saturday night dog fight. But I must tell you, and any researcher in this field will affirm what I am going to tell you, this is becoming epidemic. It's a billion-dollar blood sport. It is the most cruel, vile, vicious thing that I have ever seen. And, come on, George, dog fighters are not the sort of guys who you'll see at the senior prom in a tux and white tie and tails. They are the lowest form of human beings. They will stoop to any level. They have no conscience. As Senator Byrd said very eloquently in one word when he heard the Michael Vick saga, barbarians. And that's what they are. You arrest a dog fighter, and you're going to be taking a criminal off the street who is responsible, in all likelihood, for many other crimes. That's the bottom line, whether you care for the animals or not.
And isn't it interesting, Ron, that most serial killers were abusers of animals as children?
Well, George, it's not most, it's 100%. 100% of serial killers in the history of the world abused animals. That's how so much of it gets going. You know, and I must tell you this. My take is that dogfighting and the horrors is a crime against humanity. And let me tell you why I believe it is a crime against humanity, George, because it is teaching a generation of young people that unbridled violence against animals is as normal as roller skating or marbles or shagging fly balls was to kids of earlier generations. You know, ultimately, these young people are going to ladle out the violence that they have been taught by, you know, with this animal abuse. They're going to be ladling that out against their fellow man. Hence, my take is it's a crime against humanity.
Karen DeLeese, what do we do with these animals, let's say dogs particularly, that get seized? They have seized 60 from Michael Vick's property. What do we do with these animals? You can't really put them back into society, can you?
Well, this is a huge problem. They're viewed pretty much universally as unadoptable. And that's kind of a convenient term that's used because nobody really has the time, the resources, or the ability to try and rehab these dogs, to evaluate them, test them, and see if they are able to live in society. So it's just very easy to say they're unadoptable and euthanize them all. And that's pretty routinely done, especially with the pet overpopulation situation in this country. You know, shelters say, well, we have labs that we can't adopt out. We have golden retrievers we can't adopt out because we have too many dogs in our shelters and not enough homes. So it's very easy just to say, okay, you know what, we'll put down all the pit bulls, and especially if they're associated with fighting. It makes it kind of easy on the conscience to say, okay, well, these guys are unadoptable. You know, maybe we can get a home for that golden if we, you know, free up this cage by euthanizing all the pit bulls.
I've always believed, Karen, that an animal, a puppy, I've raised many, takes on basically the personality of the family. So whether it's a pit bull, a Doberman, or a Labrador, they generally will grow up with the love and affection as long as it's given back. Is that the case, or with a pit bull, is that different? Will a pit bull that is from a puppy stage, treated well with love and kindness, still eventually turn on someone?
You know, there's this whole mythology that has been created around this breed, and it's really very sad because, you know, what everybody talks about is pit bull, and what we don't recognize or acknowledge that this animal is a dog first. First and foremost, it's a dog. Then it's a pit bull. And, you know, and in that case, it's a dog like every other dog. It has all the same traits. It has all the same abilities to bond with people, to be loyal and devoted. But we've had this mythology that has, and these rumors and these wild accusations. And what we've done is we've stripped the pit bull of its canineness. You know, one by one, we've stripped away all the traits through rumors and through accusations that they don't behave like other dogs. That they don't signal before they attack, that they're going to turn on their owner, that they have all the things we love in our dogs, devotion, predictability, loyalty. We say the pit bull doesn't have these things. And it's outrageous. Of course they have these things. They're dogs. And you're absolutely right. You know, if you get the animals a puppy and you train it, and the really sad thing is that so many of these dogs that are taken as puppies, and so many of these pit bulls that are treated cruelly and barbarically, like Ron was saying, yet they are still these wonderful, loving, devoted, loyal dogs. And but we don't see that. We don't recognize that, and most people, you know, aren't aware of that. And it's a shame. It's a shame because they absolutely are dogs first and foremost.
And Ron, right on the heels of this Michael Vick case comes this tragedy of actor Ving Rhames, whose two mastiffs, he's got four, but apparently two, were involved in chewing up one of his keepers.
Well, George, you know, we don't know for a fact that that's what occurred. There is some fairly substantive information that this gentleman may have had a heart attack. But let me tell you something here, George. And, you know, Karen isn't being as strong as she should be. Karen, you know darn good and well, as does any dog person, that pit bulls are among the most intelligent. They are among the most loyal. They will do virtually anything that their owners and masters instruct them to do. They are beautiful animals.
Absolutely, yes.
George, there has never been, and Karen told me this, there has never been a case in history in which a pit bull that has been spayed or neutered has attacked, has been involved in a fatal attack. It's a mythology, as Karen said, and it's insane. And Ving Rhames is, you know, part of the problem. He's out strutting these huge dogs, and, you know, I guarantee you, if you eliminate every pit bull from the planet tonight, whether it's, you know, a pit bull, a Doberman Pinscher, a bloodhound, a Brazilian Mastiff like Rhames had, or French poodles, it ain't going to solve the problem. You still are going to have the people who trained the dogs in the first ever loving place. They are still going to be living right next door. They're still going to be abusing their children, their wives, their animals. They're still going to be doing their drugs. They're still going to be society's worst fecal piles long after the dogs that they trained are dead and gone. The dogs ain't the problem. It's the people.
What's your reaction to this judge in Ohio that is going to give the dog back to the owner who obviously was abusing his dog?
Well, you know, that the abuse case you mentioned there in Ohio, I'm not familiar with, but I got to tell you, George, I see cases of abuse, and we put them onto our website at lineofduty.com all the time. This case, believe it or not, is one of the milder situations I've heard of, because you know, if I were to regale you with some of the horror stories that people have been doing to animals, it would simply boggle your mind. So I don't know all the circumstances. Maybe this fellow is contrite. Maybe he has convinced the judge. You know, not everybody is going to be a lifelong serial animal abuser. But those who are, look out, because they're going to be coming after the human being ultimately.
You remember that case in St. Louis, Ron, a few years ago, the person who beat up his chained barking dog, and then he went to a bar, then he came back and bludgeoned it to death.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, you see it every day. You know, I had a story on last week about a fellow who beat his dog to death in front of a restaurant down in Texas. The cops all knew the dog. It was a loving dog, and the dog just sat there and let this jerk beat it to death.
What does an individual do, Ron, if he witnesses somebody abusing a dog? I mean, does he get involved? Do you try to get into a fight with the guy? Do you call the police? Will they show up? What do you do?
I think it depends. It depends on the circumstances. It depends on where your humanity is. It depends on what you want to put on the line. I would say always, always report it to the authorities. Make sure that they know about it. Make sure that they act. And if it's egregious enough, if it's a life-threatening situation, you know me, George, I'd dive in. I think you'd dive in.
Yes. Well, I'd let you dive in first, but I'd be right there with you. No, I'm kidding. You're right. You're absolutely right. And then, you know, we take what comes later. But, you know, I get upset, Ron, when I see a parent smacking their little kid.
I do, too. And, you know, this situation with the dog fighting is a billion-dollar blood sport. What people don't understand, you know, George, on a Saturday night, and I did a little shtick on ABC World News a weekend or two ago, and I said this, and it's true. You can go into any county in the United States, whether it's Los Angeles County, Santa Barbara County, Cook County, St. Louis County, and you, if you know where to go, You can go to an animal fight. You can put money down and watch these dogs tear themselves apart.
Stay with us, Ron. We're gonna keep both of you. We're going to open up the phone lines next. We've still got things to talk about this industry of dog fighting, because that's what it is. They're making money here. But we're going to open up the lines. Those of you who want to comment, you're next with us on Coast to Coast AM. You know, there are many things that this wonderful team at Coast to Coast AM has done that I'm very proud of. Our continuing surge in the ratings, our growing affiliate list, the sponsorship of Children's International. But I am very, very proud to be associated with this donation giveaway for Mr. Al Bielek, the same Al Bielek, of course, of the Philadelphia Experiment. He has fallen on some very difficult financial hard times, and we have put together a program where with every After Dark subscription, you get a free CD of one of his programs with Art Bell. Now, that's all well and good, and you go, well, how does that help Al? Well, we're giving Al a donation for every After Dark subscription, and based on just the numbers I saw come in today for last week, we keep this up. We may dig him out of a hole yet, and he needs it. So pick up the After Dark newsletter, pick up the free program, and we'll also help Al Bielek. Call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. Or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Back in a moment with our two guests and your phone calls. Animal abuse on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie with Ron Barber. His website, lineofduty.com. Kieran DeLeese, her websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com right now. We're going to take your phone calls. Ron, this is big money, though, isn't it? You said every Saturday you can find in just about any county in this country people finding out where they are betting on dogs fighting. Is it like a million, billion-dollar industry? What is it?
Well, you know, George, you know, no one knows for sure. The last I heard was it is a billion-dollar blood sport. It's extremely popular in many countries in Europe, in Mexico, in South America. So, you know, I'm guessing, George, that on any given week that there are, and Karen could probably has better info, but I'm guessing hundreds, if not thousands, of these dogs are sacrificed every week.
Would you say that, Karen?
Yeah, you know, the HSUS estimates that there is about 40,000 dog fighters in the United States. And so if we have 40,000 dog fighters, most of these guys have, you know, large dog lots where they have a dozen, two dozen. There's even been raids where these guys have 200 to 300 pit bulls on their property.
Jeez.
It's a huge number of dogs.
All in cages and things like that.
Chained, yeah. Mostly they're chained, you know, on thick chains, kept in really abusive conditions their whole life. Not even when they're not in the pits, they're kept in abusive conditions.
Okay, well, let's go to the phones. We'll take phone calls. You're on the Coast to Coast, first-time caller. Hi there. Hello?
Hello, is that me?
Yes, it is, dear. Go ahead.
Okay, you've been talking a lot about how much worse the pet abuse is today, and so I just wanted to tell a little story.
Sure.
I'm 76, and when I was about 6 or 7 years old, we lived across the street from some people that had a little 4-year-old boy, and they had a dog that had puppies, and they invited us over to come and see the puppies, and we went and enjoyed it. And the next morning, my mother told me, I never did know exactly how she found this out, but my mother told me that the little boy had taken a hatchet and chopped the heads off all the puppies.
Oh, my God.
Nice. And I've wondered what happened to that little boy. You know, they moved away right after that. They couldn't stay in the town, but he could have become a serial killer, I suppose.
Ron, you can only imagine what happened to that little boy when he grew up.
Yes, when he grew up.
All right, thank you.
Well, George, that's indicative of what we talked about. And, you know, it's a simple fact. The FBI has done major studies over periods of many years. And I can tell you that virtually any serial killer, any serial rapist, any long-term criminal with violent tendencies, anyone has started his or her ignominious activities by the slaughter of animals.
Wildcard Line, you're up with us. Go ahead, please.
Hey, George, this is Eric. I'm calling from I-5 in California. How you doing?
Good, Eric. Go ahead, please.
Listening to you on XM. I'm a StreamLink member, NighthawkZone.com. Big shout-out to those guys.
You're everywhere.
And,
go ahead.
Just want to mention, make a statement really quick, followed by a quick question. I used to work for a law enforcement agency in California, and I just want to let your audience know that if anyone ever witnesses any kind of animal cruelty of any kind, they can call their law enforcement agency if they have to call 911. The law enforcement will respond. There are laws against animal cruelty, and I'm sure that there are pretty much everywhere in the United States. Once again, if anyone witnesses animal cruelty of any kind, pick up the phone and call your law enforcement agency, please, Sheriff, State Police.
Okay.
Question, yep. Really quick, for your guests. Where did the term pit bull come from? I see different types of dogs. Pit bulls are seem to be kind of a general term for certain kinds of dogs, and I'd like to know where the term pit bull came from, and I'll listen to the answer on the air. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Okay. Does anybody know that? I know, you know, the American Pit Bull Terrier was the name of the breed, right?
Yes. Pit bull is a very general term, like we would use the term hound or spaniel or sheepdog. It encompasses a number of different breeds depending on who you talk to. It's a very general term that's used to cover, just like you said, the American Pit Bull Terrier, the American Staffordshire Terrier, the Staffordshire Bull Terrier, even the Bull Terrier, and some Bulldogs. And so it's a very general term that's banded around quite a bit, and it's that's the whole problem with when we talk about the breed as being vicious, because what we're saying is we're saying all these dogs that look like this, that look like they have pit bull characteristics, they could be any one of a dozen breeds of dogs, and they're all lumped together under this very broad heading, pit bull.
So the breed, though, the name for the breed did not come about by tossing two dogs into a pit, watching them go at it.
Well, actually, in a sense, it did.
Oh, it did?
Well, yeah, because back in the 1800s, there was a very, generic bulldog. It came from England. It was an old bulldog. And it was used to bait cattle. It was used as a stock dog, as a working dog. And then they started using the animal for entertainment in what was called bull and bear baiting, where they would, in another case of extreme animal cruelty, to sate the bloodlust of humans. So we would either tie up a bear or tie up a bull, and we would set dogs on it for our entertainment and see who won these battles. And in 1835, the English Parliament said, look, this is barbaric. You know, we're outlawing this. You can't tie up a bull and set these bulldogs on them. So so what people did then was they said, okay, we'll set the dogs on each other. And so they took this old bulldog, uh-huh, and mixed in some terriers, and they got this bulldog terrier. And then they started putting them in pits and fighting them against each other. And this is how we got the American Pit Bull Terrier.
I see. And Ron, will a police dispatcher send an officer out to the scene of an animal abuser if somebody calls it in?
Well, I think it depends on the law enforcement agency. Up until recently, many law enforcement agencies would prefer to sweep these sorts of things over to the animal control officer or to their local humane groups.
Mm-hmm.
They would eschew that responsibility. And I think tide is slowly beginning to turn. You know, 48 states now consider dogfighting a felony. Animal abuse is a felony. The laws need to be enacted. We need to, you know, yank these people out and throw their butts in jail. That's going to start sending a message. We need to confiscate the thousands and thousands of dollars that they, you know, have in these dog fights. But to do that, it's going to take some planning and some serious strategy. I mean, these are very conniving, very careful individuals. They guard the perimeters of these dog fights. They literally write and talk in code. They are extremely secret. George, it's a multi-million dollar industry. And just like any other industry that's grown to these proportions, it's got some very insular stuff going on that cops need to deal with.
So they get the word out privately through friends, hey, the big fight is going to be Saturday, and here's where it's going to be. And then they kind of watch, I guess, who shows up.
Oh, absolutely. They are attuned to police radios. They have the state-of-the-art electronic equipment.
Incredible.
They are very careful about guarding the perimeters, and I mean with weapons. They do a lot of their stuff on the Internet, and as I said, a lot of it is in codes and different sorts of nomenclature that is familiar to them. So it's big business.
Wildcard Line, your turn. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, is that me?
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Good. Where are you and what's up?
I'm all the way in Toronto, Canada. Actually.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Now, what I wanted to talk about is about in Ontario, actually, there's a real, it's a real sensitive issue. And what's going on here is they're pretty much profiling the dogs, and it's gotten to the point where if the police sees you on the street with a pit bull that looks under the age of 2 years old, they will take the dog from you.
They will?
They will take the dog from you. They will deny you housing because of a pit bull. I was just about 6 months ago going to rent an apartment, filled out the application form. Everything was great. She asked me if I had a dog. I said yes, and when she went to prove my papers, she asked me what kind of dog it was, and as soon as I told her it was a pit bull.
But as a matter of fact, not only is that accurate, but Karen, most boarding kennels, you know, if someone's going to go on vacation and board their dog, most kennels won't take pit bulls, will they?
Oh, it is incredible, and this caller is absolutely right. The entire province of Ontario has banned pit bulls, and you are right. You can't go camping to a hotel. You can't rent an apartment in many places. I mean, the amount of bans on this breed across the country, across the world, is unbelievable. And, you know, the thing is in Ontario, you know, we gave them information when they were trying to pass this ban on pit bulls, and they were using all this hysteria and all these erroneous media articles. And, you know, we tried to tell them, there's been 33 fatal attacks in Canada over the last 30 years, and out of the 33 fatal attacks, only one was by a pit bull. And even when you hand them incredible amounts of evidence to disprove and try to quell the hysteria, people don't want to hear it. They have a perception of pit bulls in their head, and the truth be damned. They don't care what else you tell them, what else you present. If you show them even some of these cases of severe and fatal dog attacks, because this is what I do, I investigate these, and you go in there and you find these dogs were horrifically abused. Some of these animals were only half the weight they were supposed to be. There were emaciated chains embedded in their necks, and they lived on a chain for 6 years, and a toddler went over there and was poking with them with the stick, and the dog lashed back. And what you'll see in the newspapers is family pit bull mauls child. And, you know, our whole perception, and we're ignoring the abuse that these animals are suffering, and all we're doing is looking at the after fact, that this dog then eventually lashed out, and there is absolutely no recognition given to the condition of these dogs prior to them acting out. And Ontario is... this call is absolutely right. You can't, they will take your dogs in Ontario.
You know, Ron, I've known you for a number of years, and, you know, whenever a police officer gets killed in the line of duty, it is almost as if a family member of yours has passed on. Yet this mission here, this mission of animal abuse, dog fighting, seems to be very dear to you.
Well, George, you know, as I said, I am tremendously involved in issues related to child abuse, pedophilia, animal abuse. I hate these people, George. I hate them. They shouldn't be breathing oxygen. I don't know why God put them on the earth. And whatever time I have left, I'm going to try to make a little bit of a difference and fight these.
Well, now, this is interesting. I think old God put them on the earth, but they weren't abusers at that time. Something happened to them, Ron. I don't know if it was their parents that abused them. Something happened to them. I think as little kids, I don't think they were born that way. Do you?
Well, you know, I'm not a sociologist, and I'm not that. I don't have that expertise. I know, as do you, as does Karen, everybody listening, violence has always been a part of the human equation. Pervert has been a part of the human equation, and they always will be. And you know, as far as dogs, they've been used for centuries for violent purposes. As Karen gave me a little background, the conquistadores literally trained bloodhounds to track down and eat Indians. Bloodhounds, just read Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Yeah.
Bloodhounds were trained down. The Nazis used the Doberman pinchers. And now on to the pit bulls. And, of course, that all came to the fore when Sports Illustrated did the cover article with a pit bull with its fangs bared in 1987 and an article on dogfighting. Well, all of a sudden, all of these lowlifes come out of the woodwork and say, we can get these dogs, we can train them, we can beat them down, we can do whatever it is, and the rest is a sad commentary on history.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Maybe time for one or two more quick calls. Go ahead, please.
Yes, this is Joe from Greshamville, Georgia.
Hey, Joe.
Hi. A quick comment. I'm an animal lover myself. I got a dog, five cats, and I love them to death. I'd fight somebody over, put it that way. But I do know a little something about dogs and pit bulls. They, in general, they will not turn against you, even if they're aggressive. But I lived next door to this guy. He was a good neighbor, and when his daughter was born, he got a pit bull. He wanted her to be raised with a dog, you know, so she'd have respect. Anyway, when she turned three or four, the dog was about three or four, and he'd always been well-treated. He was a part of the family, a member of the family, and he turned on her, and he mauled her.
Was she provoking him, even though?
No, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
He had never been abused in any way. This dog was loved, hugged. I mean, when she was little, until she was taught better, she pulled the tail, you know, she did normal stuff, and he never even offered to growl at her or raise his lip.
Karen, with this story here, for example, we only got about 30 seconds left, but about 6 months ago, I had a story of a pit bull. A parent had fallen asleep, or they were drunk or something. Their pit bull ate the foot off their baby. So I guess some of these tragedies do occur.
Well, yeah, but there was also a ferret, and that was a puppy, and they actually never determined whether it was the ferret or the pit bull.
Ah, okay. Well, I'm glad you pointed that out. Ron, we are out of time. Karen, you as well. We've only scratched the surface. Stay in touch with us, all right?
You bet. Thanks, George.
All right.
Thank you.
It's Ron Barber and Karen DeLeese, advocates of doing away with animal abuse, specifically dog fighting. I'll be back in a moment because we are now moving into ancient mysteries. So get ready for this coast-to-coast ride. I'm George Norrie.